Podcast 39, Jesus' Baptism. The Gospel passage for this podcast is Mark chapter 1, verses 9 to 15. Now, in January last year, we had our first baptism during the time I've been leading the parish. Lewis and Cooper Hoad began their faith journey and started their walk with God. With the help of their parents and godparents, we pray they will start to find connection with God, who cares for us all and everything we do. Doing this baptism reminds me of a story about a woman who once took her four-year-old daughter to a baptismal service at her church. The adults were being baptized by being fully immersed in the water. Later that night, her daughter took all of her dolls into the bathtub with her and held her own baptism service. As she dunked each doll under the water, she repeated, "Now I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and hold your nose." Today's Gospel is Mark's story of Jesus' baptism in the River Jordan by John the Baptist. And I want to focus on Jesus' baptism, as told by Mark in verses 9 and 10, because this passage skips over quite a few parts of Jesus' early ministry. Mark touches briefly on these events, and other Gospels provide more details. In some ways, Mark's Gospel is like an action movie. This happens, then that happens, then something else happens. It's all bang, bang, bang. If we go back to the original Greek of these verses, we discover some interesting things. The Greek word baptizeo, used in this passage for baptism in English, has several meanings. One meaning is to dip repeatedly, to immerse or to submerge, i.e. when a vessel sinks. Another meaning is to cleanse by dipping or submerging, to wash, to make clean with water, to wash oneself, and to bathe or overwhelm. Now, John the Baptist was sent by God for two specific purposes. Firstly, he had been sent to preach a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And secondly, he had been sent to go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him. For some time, John had been preaching persuasive messages, condemning sin and calling for repentance. People came in droves to hear his powerful sermons and were baptized by him in the River Jordan. To give you some context in Jesus' day, in terms of Jewish culture, water baptism wasn't invented by John the Baptist. It was already in the Jewish culture and religion, and it served a number of purposes. One of those purposes was baptism for people who wanted to convert to Judaism, i.e. Gentiles who wanted to convert to Judaism. It was a baptism of conversion. If you were a Gentile who wanted to convert to Judaism, as part of that conversion process, you were baptized in water. Commentators explain that the Jews were accustomed to say of a Gentile proselyte, on his public admission into the Jewish faith by baptism, that he was a newborn child. So water baptism was used when someone wanted to convert to Judaism, and that is still the same today. The ritual of baptism was already part of the Jewish culture, and there was even a special bath called a mikveh, which was built for the purpose of both ritual washing and for performing baptisms. John the Baptist didn't invent baptism. It was part of the existing Jewish culture and religion, and it remains one of the rituals practiced today as part of the process of conversion of a Gentile to becoming a Jew. The symbolism of full immersion baptism, being submerged under the water and then coming back up, carries the idea of dying and being born again to a new life. Although we don't usually do that in the Anglican Church, and we didn't do that with Lewis and Cooper, the same idea applies. Baptism signifies leaving behind your old life and starting a new life with the intention of following God and growing closer to Him. John the Baptist came preaching a baptism of repentance. As Mark 1 explains, people came to John, confessed their sins, and were baptized by him in the River Jordan. The majority of these people were probably Jews, so this was not the standard Jewish baptism for the ritual of conversion to becoming a Jew. It was something different. People of the time wanted to find some way to express their desire to start a new life and follow God, and John provided a way for them to publicly express that desire. But then along comes Jesus. Along comes the Lord he was to prepare the way for. And suddenly John seems confused. Jesus requests to be baptized by John. But in Matthew it records that John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" This wasn't what John had expected. This wasn't in accordance with the instructions he thought he'd been given by God. He's almost incredulous. "What do you mean, baptize you? You should be baptizing me." But Jesus responds, again from Matthew's Gospel, "Let it be so for now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness." In other words, Jesus is telling John, "This is what you were sent to do. My baptism is the fulfillment of your mission." The Bible tells us that Jesus' ministry began with his baptism by John. After his baptism, the Father anointed Jesus from on high with the Holy Spirit descending in the form of a dove, one of the few places in Scripture where the three persons of the Godhead are present together. And the Father put his mark of approval on Jesus by audibly declaring, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." From this point in time, John becomes less important in the Gospel narrative. As John himself says, recorded in the Gospel of John, "He must increase, but I must decrease." Jesus is the model for all of us who follow him. He began his ministry by being baptized. Anyone who wants to follow Jesus publicly declares this before the community of faith by being baptized. The early church and the church through its 2,000-year history have continued to do this. And baptism is best done in the context of the local community of faith, the church. This is because declaring your intention to follow God is something that you will need help to do. And of course, parents and godparents have a special part to play in the faith journey of children who are baptized. But as well, the church, the people of the local community of faith, help with this faith journey. Baptism is also a sign of membership with this community of faith. So to sum up, Jesus is our model. As part of following him, we get baptized, just as he was by John the Baptist. Secondly, being baptized is a key part of the start of our faith journey. If you haven't been baptized, you should consider doing this to declare your faith in God publicly. And thirdly, baptism involves parents, godparents, and the community of faith, so that the church can help newly baptized adults and children to continue their walk with God and grow in their faith.